Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Vinnie Hurl from the BBC. Vinnie, thanks very much for agreeing to do our wee podcast.
No problem at all, to be honest. I thought you'd have asked me a long time ago. I'm slightly insulted. It's taken you forever.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry, Vinnie, but you're here now. That's the main thing. You're here
now. That's true.
So let's get right in. Tell us a wee bit about maybe how you made the break into getting into the media, getting into radio and TV, because you're on the TV as well.
Well, the odd time, whenever they let me on, like, but sadly, if I made the decisions, I'd be on all the time, like Barabas, but I don't, so I have to just make do. But here, like, it's one of those industries, there's lots of people who want to work in it, and lots of incredibly talented people, and it's a hard thing to break into. So I pestered them until they didn't mind that I had no talent, and they let me in. But I did for years, I did community radio, uni radio. I did, people are surprised when I tell them I went to university to do a degree in journalism and media studies. They say, oh, really, did you? Which slightly offends me. But that was kind of the start for me. I always loved radio, and that was a path I wanted to follow. And then I did a bit of traveling, went over to England to go to uni, then went to Australia for a while, and I came back to Northern Ireland slightly unwillingly. My mum said, just give it a go. And the day I started at the BBC, I also had a job to start in HMRC. So to work in, yes, bringing you up looking for your tax money. And so both those jobs were meant to start the same day. It was a trainee scheme with the BBC. And I remember saying to my mum, oh, you know, do I need to just take a job that's going to pay me? Or, you know, can I keep trying to follow the dream that I had? And she said, don't be silly. You know, just go for it. And I started with the BBC with a trainee scheme. I think that was 2006 maybe. And I'm still here today.
Wow. Brilliant. And is it, I mean, I suppose you can't say anything else. You're loving it, are you?
Every day, living the dream. What's that also meant to say? Yes, it's a fantastic place. Do you know what? I do love it. Like any job, if you had the best job in the world, there'll be days where sometimes you get a bit frustrated. But I do. I love it, especially because I get to do a real mix. So I get to, you know, produce the Nolan Show. I get to do my own stuff as well. I've done a bit of TV over the years and bits and pieces, you know, from the TV appeals stuff to, you know, house programs. So then my own program on a Friday on Radio Ulster, and which is the complete opposite of the Nolan Show. You know, so when I think about it, when I'm frustrated, I think, you know, I couldn't get a job like this anywhere else. And I'm incredibly fortunate to do what I do.
I don't know why I should admit to this, but I do hear you on Hugo Duncan. Just whenever you're ready to go on to your show, Hugo gives you a wee slot, every 5 minutes.
He does.
To give you a wee bit of promotion there.
Now, do you switch over after Hugo comes off air, or do you stay on? That's the real question there.
I'm staying on. I shouldn't admit that. I'm not admitting that. I'm admitting a wee bit to listening to Hugo. I'm a sort of...
What's wrong? Hugo, I love him.
No, he's spot on. I'm a Daniel fan too, but we'll say now. We'll say no more.
Here.
We need to move on.
Daniel, you mean Daniel O'Donnell?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was either Daniel O'Donnell or Daniel Craig. I love a bit of Daniel O'Donnell. He's great, and I love a bit of Hugo too. He's very generous with his airtime with me, and he's also a very, how would you describe Hugo? Whenever I sit down in his studio with him to do a wee trail about what I'm doing, he's mischievous. And he's got this wee glint in his eye. But he makes me laugh. Like, and he's got some, like, you know, the listeners absolutely love him, and I can see why.
Yeah, no, he does. He has that. He definitely has a Uncle Hugo approach where he is very affable. Yeah,
but a bit like yourself.
No, well, here, now we're moving on from Hugo. Let's get away from that. Vinnie, how did you cope, basically? I mean, we're coming out of lockdown, which is great.
Yeah.
And hopefully the pandemic is now in the rearview mirror. How did you cope? Did you have any hobbies or interests, or what got you through it?
I bleached my head, put on some weight, and did some terrible DIY with stuff I bought off the internet. And that was genuinely what kind of to an extent got me through it. I think, like most of us, everyone sort of thought, sure, flatten the curve a few weeks and this will all be over. We were sent home. You know, I went to work from home in the middle of March, and no one knew. Well, I had no idea what was going to come. And then I worked from home for months. I did that property show, which we had just finished filming a week or so before that. And I had to do the voiceover for each episode. And on the day before lockdown, I did the voiceover in these fancy voiceover booths in down by the gasworks in Belfast. Did the first episode there, and then lockdown. And this is how glamorous broadcasting flips. So went from that to the rest of the series. I had my head under a duvet in my front room, trying to get the kids upstairs to be quiet while I was doing the voiceover into a wee microphone that I had. We were doing programs from home. My Friday program was from home. I was producing Nolan from home. And it was fine at the start. But see, I think like a lot of people, after a while, I'd move from one room to the other, literally the other side of the wall. And that, not interacting with a lot of people, not getting out of the house. That, when I say isolation, I was very fortunate. I had my family with me. But, it gets difficult. It's a lot of time to focus on things, and that's never good with me. Too much time to focus on issues, or say if there's something frustrating you or that's annoying you. I'm the same. I've always been the same. But if you have too much time to think about that, it's not good. And that was where I found it a bit difficult after a while. And the DIY helped to distract myself, you know?
I don't think you're alone there, Vinny.
No.
I think everybody, human beings, were social animals. They like social contact.
That's true. That's true. And like I say, some people had it a lot worse because there were people living on their own. I had a garden. Some people didn't. You know, I had my family and my kids and that with me. But you know, and what it was so different from what we were used to, and it was an overnight thing. Even for the kids and not going to school and trying to homeschool, and there was a lot. It was very intense all of a sudden. And the flip side of things is, you know, I got to spend a lot more time with family and that I probably wouldn't have had before. And also, I guess you just start to realize how fortunate we are and we were, and all these dopey wee things that you take for granted, like just going out to get a coffee or whatever. So, you know, it was tricky, but I was very fortunate compared to a lot of other people.
Mm, without it. Well, hopefully, as I say, that's in the rear view mirror.
Now, you've said it now. If anything else happens, I ain't going to blame you.
Right. Well, now that you're sort of coming out of lockdown or during lockdown, how did you look? Did you have a fitness sort of routine, you know, where you could maybe walk or run or how did you look after yourself?
I didn't.
Fitness wise, so you stayed under the cover, you stayed under the duvet, you bleached your hair and you put on weight?
Now, for years and years, I would go in the gym maybe 4 times a week, 5 times a week. And I did that for literally maybe 10 years. And then when lockdown came, and whenever kids came along a couple of years before lockdown, I was maybe going 2 or 3 times a week. But that was still a lot. Lockdown came and I stopped going, obviously. I bought a treadmill over those few months and I would have used it the odd time. But compared to the exercise I was getting, I got very little. And I have to admit, that does affect you. I think, I suppose it doesn't seem obvious, the positive impact exercise has on your head, your mental well-being, until you stop doing it. I would have done a bit of running, and that was kind of it. And I've never got back to what I was doing before. So hopefully
so
I will.
You have children now, and you're running after kids, aren't you?
That's it. And you think that would burn off the calories that you need to lose to counter the not doing as much exercise, but it simply didn't. So I haven't put on a lot of weight, although some people, the odd person will text in or will tweet me saying, here, I saw you in town and you put a bit of beef on. And I think cheeky brats, but just a bit of extra padding. But hopefully I'll get back to what I was doing at some point and, you know, get back.
We're coming into the summer now, aren't we? We're getting into summer, you can get out for a walk or whatever.
Yeah. Did you do much walking, not much exercise in lockdown?
I do a bit of running, Vinny.
Do you?
So I would run 6 days a week, but it's not about me. Yes, I kept myself busy. Yep.
6 days a week.
Park run. Get yourself to park run every Saturday.
Well, we have
half nine.
We've since moved house since that first lockdown, and we're out in, you know, I've got plenty of space around me now. But and this is such a silly excuse, and a lot of people use it, but it's hard sometimes to find the time. Like, I get up, say, 5:30 in the morning, and by the time I get home, the last thing I want to do is go for a run. I always found the time before. I don't necessarily now, but there's always something. But here, as I put on, I've a wardrobe full of shirts and T-shirts now that don't really fit me. And I'm getting a bit older, whereas I think when you get a bit older, then it's not easy to lose it, and you're putting yourself at more risk of any side effects. I've not massively put the weight on, but I've definitely put on enough to notice.
Yeah, but I mean, get wherever you live, there is a park run close by, and you can walk the park run as well. I don't know what age your children are, but you can wheel them round in their pram.
No, they're a bit older than that, like, but...
Well there you go. So I'm telling you, I love it. But here, everybody has different passions or whatever they can get into, but for me...
Well, I like a bit of the weights, and I like a bit of the gym and a bit of the running, so maybe we'll go for a park run together.
No, you absolutely. I'm up in Antrim any time you want. In fact, Men's Health Week is coming up on... let me just check my diary. I'll pull it over here. Men's Health Week is it ends on Father's Day, which is the 19th of June. Sunday the 19th of June is Father's Day. And on Saturday the 18th of June, I'll be in Antrim volunteering and doing a wee talk.
I walked myself into that one, didn't I?
There you go. You can't get out of that one now. The 18th of June, you're very welcome to pop in the Antrim Park Run. And in my opinion, I've run a whole lot of them. Ours is absolutely lovely.
Well, here, I don't live that far from there.
Well, there you go. You've no excuse.
No, I've no excuse. I'll soon find an excuse, but no, I've no excuse. No, I did buy. I bought some weights from my garage, but they're still in the box. So between that and the park run, we'll get there.
You'll get there. Right, okay, moving on then, Vinny. Some funny stories. You must have some funny stories over the years working in the media. Now, remember, only share what you're comfortable with sharing. Or, indeed, tell us an interesting fact about yourself, maybe that nobody else knows. Now, you're not allowed to tell, you've already told us you've got weight, sir, and they're not being used or anything, but have you any wee stories that would be of interest?
Okay. I'll tell you a fact about myself that you might not know. One of my first jobs was as a toilet tester.
Making sure that the toilet works?
Uh-huh.
Is that the tester?
When I was at uni, I worked as a toilet tester for about 4 days. I didn't like it. For a well-known toilet company, and you had to go in and lift the toilets and put them in the different tests. There was like a suction test. There was one to make sure it was airtight. There was a splash test, and I am not joking, this is all totally true. And there was also a test where you had to flush little green plastic poos down the toilet, and if they didn't go down on the first flush, then the toilet failed. Because what was happening was this big company was getting, you know, they were selling these toilets, and if there was an issue, say if it leaked and damaged someone's floor or ceiling, a lot of money there. So it paid them to, you know, suction test the toilets and check that there wasn't too much splashback. So that was one of my first jobs, but I didn't like it, so it didn't last too long.
No, fair play. Well, there you go. That is definitely an interesting story. I'm sure.
And in terms of funny stories about people, I don't know. I've been very lucky to interview a lot of people over the years, especially from when we show, because I get to talk to people that I would listen to when I was a kid, you know, musicians or people like that. But I'm not going to say who. I've got myself confused twice over the years. Now, this is over a fairly long period where I was interviewing someone other than who I thought. and because, well, the first time was, you ever hear of a man called Paddy Glasgow?
Brian?
Yeah.
Yep.
Glasgow Berry. He used to do this festival. I think it might come back there. Anyway, he lovely, lovely man. And I had been arranging with this fellow he worked with for him to come in. This is on community radio to do an interview. And he said, Paddy can't come, but I can come. And I said, that's great. And it was at night time in West Belfast up in Conway Mill. And these two fellows come in. Now, I had never seen Paddy before. I didn't know what he looked like. And I had a co-host. And the guy who I'd been talking back and forth with, he came in. I knew who he was, sat down. And then there was a conversation between my co-host and the two men that come in. And I said to my co-host, who's called Chris, I said, did you call that other man John? And he just shook his head and said, yes. Now, little did I know that Chris hadn't heard me. He just shook his head. So I spent the entire interview calling Paddy Glasgow John. And I was so engrossed in my own interview that at one point, Paddy said to me, no, it's John. Or sorry, he said, no, it's Paddy. And I didn't even register. And I spent the rest of the time calling him John. And he's such a nice man. He was really nice about it. And then it was only afterwards I realised, and I said to Chris, my co-host, I said, why did you say that? And he goes, oh, I didn't hear what you said. I was just agreeing with you anyway. And I thought, I could have strangled you. I interviewed him again after that, and I made a notion of it, a mention of it. But so that was back in the community radio days. And I did it once in Radio Ulster too with a very well-known rock band where I Googled something and I got distracted. This is how you need to pay attention. And then I had the wrong the wrong name written down. Very similar, two rock bands and the wrong lead person. And the first time I called him the wrong name, he laughed and said yes and repeated the name, which I didn't mean anything to me. I thought this man's just saying his name back to me. And then a little further down, it dawned on me in the middle of this interview. And I was then frantically thinking, who am I talking to? Because a lot of those interviews, they're not in front of you. It's down the line. So he was somewhere in London. And then anyway, so I and to be fair, I played out the entire thing and I explained that I was a Muppet and this is what I had done. So there you go.
Ah, brilliant. Cracker.
I should be concerned in case any of my bosses are listening and think, no. You need to get rid of that fella.
That's a cracker. Well, we haven't, thankfully, I don't think we've made any boobs like that, Brian. No, happy death.
There's still time, Brian, don't worry.
I know.
Right, Penny, we're moving along here. So, next one, heroes or mentors when you were maybe growing up, or somebody who maybe give you an inspiration or anything like that, or any memories that stick with you through the years?
See, the hero thing or mentor, it's a great question, but I don't like it because I would put Stephen as one of my answers, Stephen Nolan. Mm-hmm. Not as a hero, but as a mentor. I worked with him for so long, over many, many years. In fact, I think it's over 13 now. And I, not everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. But, you know, he's someone that I have used as a source of information and skill and technique. And I guess when you work with someone, and again, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I'm quite fond of him. When you work with someone that has those skills, it's a great way of trying to hone your own technique and what you do and how you do your own job, whether that's production or otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd have to mention him. Is that all right, Stephen? Is that okay? He's away now. That's fine. He's happy with that little mention.
Happy days. Very good. Good.
And... yeah, so that was one of mine. But
when did you meet Stephen? Did you meet him at the BBC or did you meet him before?
No, at the BBC.
The BBC, right, at the BBC.
He was he had been here for years. I started in the BBC maybe 15 years ago, 15 or 16, something like that. And I used to work in different programs. And at one point, I was on a program that was in the same office as the Nolan Show. So I used to watch the program. No, I used to observe the team from the far end of the office. Not like I sat there watching them all the time. Yeah. But let's just say their end was the noisier end of the office. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you would just, you know, watch the conversations and the discussions, let's just say, in the office.
It was all happening.
It was exciting. Yeah. And that was it. And then I at the BBC... they didn't sack me, but they said your attachment has ended. Thank you very much. Don't come back after Christmas. And then a couple of days later, this was in the December, the boss of the Nolan show said, we have an opening, can you come back and just do January for us? And that was 13 years ago. So it's been a long January. But,
yeah, no, that's great.
But yeah.
And did, say at the top of this week's show, did you say you produced the Nolan show now?
Yes, I've done that for years and years. Wow. And I started off as a content production, so assistant content production on the program, and that was, and I've been producing, I don't know how long I've been producing it now, a long time. So been there for 13 years, and the majority of that as a producer. You shocked to hear that? Does that make you happy or sad?
No, do you know what it does, Finn? You think I knew what I was talking about when I said, do you produce a show? I know nothing about what's involved, but it sounds like it's a big job. Without a doubt. I mean, if you're producing the show without it, it's not happening.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I think that's it. That's how I look at a producer.
And
Brian's nodding. Brian's giving,
kind of pick himself off the floor.
Yeah, he's giving me the, Paul, you're not far off the mark there.
No, I think, like, a show like that, without Stephen, it's not the Nolan show. So, but obviously, there's a team there that works on that. You know, it's there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of work and effort that goes into everything that happens on the show. So it's I love it. Not every day, but
no, it's like any job, as you say. You have days where it's absolutely brilliant, and there's days it's tough.
But here, you're asking me about other people. I've always was always a big fan of the likes of Terry Wogan and Graham Norton, and you kind of would have grown up with them, you know, watching them on the TV and them do their thing, you know. So they are another two. And this is obviously more entertainment wise. Just people that as you're growing up, that just fascinating. Yeah. You think they're so engaging. How can you be like them, or how can you take some inspiration from what they do? Like, I am no Terry Wogan, Graham Norton, nor Stephen Nolan, but I think we're all sponges, and you kind of you're affected and impacted in positive ways by lots of people around you.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I mean, I'm 52. I grew up. Wogan was on BBC at the time, and that probably would have been my first seeing a Terry Wogan. But my wife put me on to Wogan on Radio 2.
Right.
And I thought, you know, he was really brilliant. His show on Radio 2 was cracker. Really funny. But, yep, I agree with you. Terry Wogan was really very good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have Radio 1 people like Edith, if I could speak, Edith Bowman. Again, these are people you just hear as you grow up and you grow older, and they're just part of your life when you're younger, and it's hard not to take some kind of tips from them, you know?
Right, there you go. And there's me thinking I was a bit like Parkinson today. Brian, no chance. Right, funny. Right, we're moving on, right? We're getting, I've only a couple of more questions for you. I suppose this one is, don't know if it's hard or not. What makes you happy?
That is a hard question. There's nothing, or very little, I like more than being at home in my own house with my family. You know, watching a bit of TV together, eating dinner together. I know it sounds like a soppy, easy answer, but that's genuinely when I am the most content. Lock the door, get the TV on, you know, it's just a bit of family time. So that, but here, there's other things over the years, different achievements that have really, you know, you're ticking boxes off things that you've wanted to do with your life as well. You know, getting a program on Radio Ulster, or getting to Radio Ulster, or getting to do bits on TV, and they're all pinch yourself moments where you just think, well, it's just incredible. You know, I'm so fortunate. Now, sometimes with that, what comes is a little bit of then that pressure you put on yourself. You sort of stress yourself out a bit. So I would do that a bit now, where you. The main issue with expectation with me is on myself. It comes from me. So sometimes that's the bit of the issue, but those are the types of things that have made me happy over the years, you know.
And I suppose, can you switch off? Are you a good man at switching off? No. Do you?
No, and smartphones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, I'd like to be, but not really. Part of it is my own doing, because I'm lucky to have a few different projects that I do and a few different jobs, strings to my bow, whatever you want to call it. So sometimes they can't be done in the day job during the day. You know, they are extra. So sometimes it's harder to switch off. Plus then you have, you know, other things you think about. You want to do a good job, make a good radio show, or made a couple of podcast series. You know, you make a good podcast series. So the pressure's on yourself for that to be as good as it can be. And then you think, well, that's that done, but not really, because then the pressure is, well, gosh, will anyone listen to this? You know, will it be successful? Will it get good numbers? Will they want another series of it? And some of them are things that you don't have direct control over. You do as much as you can, but, you know, some of it, you know, you cannot impact, and it's hard to let go of that.
And that's something that I suppose I would never think about, or most people don't think about. Are you getting the numbers? Are you going to get another run at this? Yeah. Are you going to have another series? And so on. And you sit and watch it and you go, right, that was great. Or you sit and listen and you go, happy days. But you're constantly putting a bit of pressure on yourself.
Okay, well, it's just something that you do think about. Mm. And it's, if you've done the best you can and you're happy with the end result, that obviously makes a big difference. But again, sometimes if you've done the best you can, it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be, be the most popular thing in the world.
I suppose, do you think you need a bit of luck along the way?
Yeah.
Or do you make your own luck?
No, I think you need a bit of luck. I think for me, making your own luck is just about working hard. You know, some people can be very fortunate and maybe do very well very quickly without a lot of effort, but I don't know anyone like that. Most people I know work really hard. You know, that they want a certain type of success or to do a certain job. They work really hard and they really, really, you know, work at it. And that's the only option. And quite often things that can be perceived as being very easy or as working, you know, being very successful or sure that was, you did that and that was great and aren't you lucky? But for me and for people I see around me, there's a lot of work that's going on that people aren't aware of. And that's just the way that is. You want to listen to a show or watch a TV show and just watch it for what it is or listen for what it is. You don't want to know that episode took 2 weeks to make and there were this cancellation, these challenges. You know, that's just part of the job. But yeah, I love it most of the time.
Happy days. Right, here you go. The final question. And I suppose maybe you're already doing it. Your dream job, Finny. What is your dream job? Now, you may well be in it. So if this is your dream job, well, if I threw £1 million at you, what would you do?
I'd finish my house. Bit of tarmac. I think I am in my dream job.
Yes.
It's really hard to know because, and this is a really watery answer, but I've always been a glass half empty person and I've always wanted to be glass half full because contentment's important. And if you're content with what you're doing, whatever that is, then that's massive. Whereas you could be doing these amazing jobs, or you could be doing something that is perceived to be the best thing in the world, whatever that might be. But if you're not content with it, then it doesn't really matter. So I'd like to be a bit more content because I should be. And in terms of dream jobs, I think I am doing it now. And I'm I'm in an industry where there's the option to try and have a bit of variety within. And I really love that. So, you know, whether it's entertainment or news or documentary type stuff, there's that movement in there. Now, the movement's not always easy. And it's not always your own decision, but I'm fortunate enough. But yeah, that's it. I'd like to do maybe a bit more TV. I don't know.
Right. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you've been absolutely brilliant. And thanks very much for agreeing to do our podcast. And I mean, you're absolutely right. Get contentment, because see, once you've got contentment, that's
it.
You are made. You're made.
Have you got any you want to share with me?
I'll tell you, you should be, because just listening to you over this sort of last 30 minutes, your achievements have been brilliant.
Well, do you know what?
I guess you're younger than me too, so I mean, you've made it.
I'm very, very fortunate in lots of aspects of life, from family life to my work life. Absolutely. And I am content to some extent. But I guess part of that, in a difficult industry, part of that thing to keep pushing and keep kind of striving, and if you find it a little bit of a challenge, is to keep pushing yourself forward. And I guess it's knowing when to take your foot off that accelerator, to just take a look around you instead of trying to drive through to the next road, and that's something that for me is something I have to learn over the years. It doesn't really come natural, which makes me sound a little bit selfish, but I don't mean it to.
But I think that, contentment and ambition mm-hmm. can be together. They're not separate. So you
it's
can still
balance,
be ambitious.
Though.
It is. You can still be ambitious and have your targets and goals. And I think life without a goal there's not much. You have to have a goal. You have to have a name. You have to have, it's like a ship with no destination. You need to be going sort of somewhere.
Yeah.
So having goals and ambitions good, but you need to get that contentment along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Okay, Vinny, I think we'll leave it and then we'll call it a day. Brian's going to call it a day. Hit the stop button there, Brian.
Okay, Vinny, thanks very much. Cheers. And, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And here we go. That's it. That's it recorded. And